Blog Talk Radio.
It's up the ramp to the lumber camp with a sick and aching head. I blowed another winter's stake and I got the gyms instead. It seems I'll never learn the truth that's written plain as day. The more they try to welcome you, the more they make it pay. Pit blanket, stiff and jungle hound, and pitch him out the door. Howdy, Jack, old-timer, when you got the price for more. Oh, the boat is getting rocky, and I ain't got a bunk. Not a rare, a cheering liquor, just a turkey full of junk. And it's all of my possessions is what I can carry round. I blowed the rest on the skid roads of 100 gypo towns. It's lumberjack and timber beast, and give these bums a ride. Have one on the house, old boy, when you're stepping with the tide. Oh, the chokers will be heavy, just as cold, when the hooker gives the highball and we start to dig for gold. And I'll curse the skid road up and down with its rotten, drunken tune. But then, of course, I'll up and make another trip next June. It's blanket, stiff and jungle hound, and pitch him out the door. Howdy, Jack, old-timer, when you got the price for more.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. All that static. Yeah, static. I'm going to open up a line. We may have changed phones here, folks. I'm trying to decide, is it me or is it Memorex? Could be the phone. It's Kansas, folks. It's Kansas. Yes, it's Kansas. Anything's possible out here. We have lousy connections. Caller line one, could you tell me, are you hearing a lot of static on your end? Hello? Caller line one. Line one, are you getting a lot of static? Caller on line one, you're on air. Are you getting a lot of static? Oh, my goodness. Huh. Well, I don't know what's up. Hello? sound check, and what do I get? Well, I'll call you on another line. We're going to go right on into my interview with Steve Otto. He's got several books. You go to the flyer, you get a bio. He's got several books. He's a writer from Mays, Kansas. And just listen in. I think you'll like this. And the second hour, we'll take calls. We'll work on getting this technical difficulty figured out here. Hold on here. We'll put on Steve. The interview runs for about 51 minutes, and hopefully the network will figure out what's going on. Here we go with Steve Otto from Wichita, actually Mays, Kansas, and I think you'll enjoy this. Hold on, let me find it. There we go. Listeners, now we've got an unusual treat. I'll bet you don't know that there is a, well, I know you know there's talented writers in Kansas, but did you know that there was a talented writer about drugs, the counterculture, new communism, and politics in Kansas? Well, there is, and he's got several books out. Now, I've got on my shelf War on Drugs, War on the People, and that goes way back. That's one of his first ones. I think I'm going to keep them two copies and not let anyone get their hands on that. But since that time, he's published three other books, and I'm sort of tripped out, pardon the pun. Can You Pass the Acid Test is the name of one. I thought that was a great one. And then there's Memoirs of a Drugged Up Sex-Crazed Yippie. That's his novel of the 1970s. We're going to talk about that. And then his latest is a fictional book about hardcore communism called I Am Pol Pot, which is really just totally you listen, Ridge Runners, you sodbusters and hayseeds out there on Radio Free Kansas, welcome. Let's all welcome Steve Otto. Steve, how you doing, Mr. Otto?
Oh, fine. I'm real good.
Yeah, you're down there around, you're not really in Wichita, but let's just say you're in Wichita. You're down there, but now, you got these three books going on. These are incredible stuff. Could you outline what is your modus operandi on what you're doing? This is some of the great stuff. I mean, by the way, I want to tell you something. I want to ask you a question, too. Well, my clock's going. I'll tell you, you footnoted your War on Drugs, War on the People, meticulously footnoted them. If you want to know about what, listeners, if you want to know about the deep, I don't know what you'd say, the underground of Kansas history, contemporary history. Now we're going back from the 70s to the 80s. That's a great book. That book you got me was a good book. Are these other ones like that or what?
Can You Pass the Acid Test is a lot like that. The other two are novels. Now, there are some footnotes in the Pol Pot novel because there's some actual quotes I used from him directly, and of course I had to attribute those to the source. But otherwise, Can You Pass the Acid Test is a whole lot like the first one. I did a whole lot of research on it.
Well, that entails a lot of Kansas sites. I mean, we're talking about the underground culture that was going on in the late 60s and 70s. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, in part. Can You Pass the Acid Test actually goes from the 80s all the way back to the turn of the century. in the late 1800s. One of the points I wanted to make in that particular book was that things like heroin, which we kind of think of as, well, you know, we didn't have all this stuff until the 60s. Outside of alcohol, the white man's drug of choice has been heroin up until the 60s when, you know, marijuana became prevalent. And as much as people complained about pot, at one time they were telling people that pot was worse than heroin. If you want to believe that. But it's true. It is documented in the book.
Well, they do have a tendency. People have a tendency here in Kansas. I mean, this is the state of Carry Nation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They wreck saloons and beat people up. I guess what? I mean, you know that that's not true, huh?
Oh, they definitely beat people up. I mean, they've definitely been hard on drug users and alcohol people. So,
well, how do you get? So, what is it? What spawned you? Well, that should be that. What spawned the idea? What to start writing a series of books?
Well, the first one, which you have, is it's out of print by now, but actually, you can still get used copies. But
mm-hmm.
I wanted to pick something I knew a lot about, and I tried some drugs in the past. Plus, uh-huh. I've studied them as well and read about them, and I've had an interest in the drug issue for a long time. It's one of those things that the first book kind of makes the point of how many lines are crossed by. When you think about, well, I don't use drugs, so this doesn't affect me, but it affects free speech, and it had a huge. You were talking about the 70s and the 60s. It had a huge impact on the 70s and 60s because the counterflow or whatever the FBI's little sting operation uh-huh. was called, they tried real hard to get first of all to get drugs planted on political radicals and then get them arrested and then go to the press and try to get the press to lump together the hippies who were doing all the drugs and then the new left radicals, many of whom were not doing drugs, and so that in the public mind they were one and the same. So in other words, if you were in the SDS, probably the first thing you did was join.
Well, they
succeeded
in that. I'll tell you that, didn't they? They succeeded in that.
Oh yeah. They definitely
got
all,
every redneck and every redneck worker in a hard hat. That's the first thing out of their goddamn mouths, wasn't it? I mean, back in the Nixon years,
yeah.
You know.
You're all high on pot. You know?
High on pot. Now all the hard-headed, hard helmet. Redneck workers are smoking pot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all the construction jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of ironic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, you're a survivor. You survived all this, I know. And you're drug-free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you do counseling for people. Is that right?
What's that? Oh, I used to. I haven't right now. I don't do that, but I have in the recent past, and I might in the future as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but you've been sort of through the furnace. So
a what?
Through the furnace.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, you know, how is the steel tempered? You know, I'm fascinated with the fact that, you know, the book, the first book, War on Drugs, War on the People, it is, it has been, never more of a waste. Would you please, a waste, you know, of government money, taxpayers' money, of people's lives behind iron bars, living in cages, their lives destroyed, hundreds of thousands of people have been put through that. Do I have your amen on that?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I saw it. It's just, you know, they send people off to Afghanistan and say, you're fighting for all this freedom you enjoy, and then we have all these people in jail who, a lot of times, they just smoked a joint and got caught or something. I realize that the drugs are a problem for some people, but even then, I don't think this is how you solve a problem. Locking them up, treating them like criminals, criminalizing them, it's just not a way, especially making a person a convicted felon, you know, they can't get decent jobs. How is that going to encourage them to become part of society and stay off of drugs? I just don't see the logic in it.
Right. I have two brothers of my extent of my large family. I come from two brothers. They have been through the mill, you know, and they've never recovered from it, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've recovered from the drugs, but they haven't recovered from the lifestyle of going to prison, coming out, not being able to get a job, mistreated by society generally, and resorting to really, what would you call it, property crimes, you know, where they're check kiters. None of the crimes they've ever committed ever are violent crimes like rape and murder or anything like that. These are just stupid crimes. Petty criminals, and they've done, one's 50 years old, another one's going on 45, probably spent 30% of their lives in and out of prison.
Yeah.
And it all started over the way rather than treating it as a public health problem, they treated it as a criminal problem. And they treated, and it was out of our family's hands. We were poor people, and many of us are still poor, thanks to the state of Kansas and Phil Klein and the and the fucking crazy Christian rednecks in my state of Kansas. We're still poor, but the thing is that that's the answer for the poor is jail. There's no health care for poor people who have a drug problem, or I guess they call it a substance abuse problem. I like that. What if I was if I was addicted to wood, firewood, and I am because we have to have firewood to burn in our stoves. I guess that's a substance abuse problem. I don't feel good about chopping down trees and stuff, but you know. I'm abusing the trees. It's a substance abuse. Now you go in depth into the, you know. Now come on, Steve, quit holding up. I'm dominating the conversation because you ain't talking.
Okay.
Now tell me, we're gonna finish up with this Pol Pot shit. All right.
Okay.
This is a Friday free for all. When I play this, this is in what they call the FCC safe harbor. So we can cuss. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want. And now let's get back. First, let's go back to the can you pass the acid test and come on. Now, what have you been doing? What was going on here? You must put yourself through a lot of experiences here in Kansas. There ain't no counterculture in Kansas.
Well, the novel Sex Crazed Yippie, that really deals more with on the personal level and the personal experience of the counterculture here in Kansas. The thing about Kansas is
you say there's a counterculture in Kansas.
Well, there was. I mean, and it was mostly drugs, and it's mostly fashion and drugs, and sex in some parts of the state. Not so much in Wichita, you know, some parts of the state. I don't know. I've always, I mean, maybe it's just my own prejudice against this city.
People are more frigid down there.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, I've had people tell me I'm crazy, but it just seems to me like it is a very sexually repressive culture in Wichita. Extremely repressive. And I think it's the most in Kansas of all the places I've been.
Right.
So I just threw that in there. So if you wanted to focus more on the
city that shot George Tiller,
huh?
That's the city that they shot George Tiller.
Yeah. I mean, there must be
some sexual problem down there.
If they don't like Playboys being sold out in the open, you can bet that they don't want someone performing abortions either.
It isn't like we could protest the lack of health care by all of us taking our clothes off and walking down Main Street Wichita, is it? Huh?
I have a hard time imagining that.
Well, I think that's what we ought to do.
Yeah.
I'll go down there, and we'll get some of our old friends. I'll say their names just for fun. We'll get Carol June and Diane Watto and Steve Davis. We'll all go down there and take our clothes off down there at City Hall. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a fine idea. I'll see what you're talking into it.
Hell, I'll try talking them in. Are you a progressive?
I always think of myself that way.
Well, you are, Steve. That's why I'm cracking up. I'll just tell you, this is a good interview. Now listen, tell me some more shit. I mean, what were you doing? What inspired your brain to start creating? You claim half these are novels.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really?
Oh yeah. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're based.
You footnoted War on People. War on Drugs.
Two of them are nonfiction. The War on People is nonfiction, and Can You Pass the Acid Test is nonfiction. Those are kind of like resource books.
Uh-huh.
And the other two are novels.
Can You Pass the Acid Test, is that? That's got some local Kansas history, underground history in it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know the War on People does. War on Drugs, War on People does. Great stuff.
Yeah, it has a little bit in there, too. Some stuff about some of the groups here in town. Some of the motorcycle gangs, some of the newspapers that they used to be around, things like that. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
didn't you work for a newspaper for a while too?
I had a small. Well, yeah, I started in Lawrence. I worked for what was it called?
Some alternative press thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had an alternative press there, which I'm trying to think of. Let's see, I started my own here in Wichita in 1980 called The Public Voice.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
right.
It was based on one in Lawrence that I worked on called, what was that? Not The Public Voice. Now I'd have to look it up. I can't remember the name of that paper.
All right, yeah. That goes back a ways.
Oh, yeah, quite a ways. That was really the first underground newspaper I worked on was up there in Lawrence. And kind of broke myself in on writing for underground newspapers that way.
Yeah. So you get into this situation where you're producing, you want to write, and you're writing this stuff. You want to tell people in Kansas, I think they're, confess, isn't there a little bit of who is that old man? I can't remember the guy. Snidely Whiplash, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're wanting to. There's sort of a dastardly undercurrent here. What you want to? I mean, when I read that War on Drugs, War on the People, and I was looking at some of the local footnotes, and I was like, oh my God, it's like it was a deep history of Kansas that most people did not want to know about, you know what I mean? And so
definitely.
You know, Can You Pass the Acid Test? That's that way too, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's stuff in here people don't really want to think about.
About Kansas? Not Kansas.
And definitely in the novel, I mean, the The only name I didn't change was Vern Miller's because he was on the Tonight Show, and he's that makes him a public figure.
Help the listeners out. Help me out. I'll tell you what I know about Vern Miller, but tell me what you know about Vern Miller.
Oh, I hated him at the time. He was just this right-wing fascist Democrat.
A Democrat.
Yeah, and then
them son of a bitches at the KDP, they'd like to forget that Vern Miller was a Democrat.
He was opposed by the Young Democrats up there in Lawrence. They hated him. And he actually tried to wreck the counterculture as much as he could in Lawrence. I mean, he really went after them with a vengeance. Of course, he did his work down here as well.
And airplanes and railroad cars, wouldn't it? Wasn't that one of his claim to fame, or...?
Oh, yeah, that jumping out of car trucks, just jumping on people, running, I mean, just leading these ridiculous raids. Like
bathrooms and airplanes that were flying over.
Yeah. He was like a modern-day Kerry Nation.
Kerry Nation.
He didn't have an axe, he just had a gun. Made him a little more dangerous, really.
Yeah, a lot more dangerous. He had a badge and a gun, yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch, Kerry Nation, she just had a hatchet and was screaming, singing hymns, you know. But this guy had a badge. It's sort of like, things haven't changed that much after thinking about what Phil Klein has done to the abortion doctors in this state. I mean, it's sort of the same thing, ain't it?
Yeah, there's some similarities there. Yeah. Yeah, because really neither one of them were, Vern Miller never really acted very much like an attorney general. He acted more like he was a super sheriff.
Yeah, a vigilante.
A vigilante, right.
Sort of like Scott Roeder.
Yeah, Scott Roeder was a vigilante. So is.
Now we have a long series of attorney generals that were vigilantes.
Yeah, Klein had absolutely no credation for that job. I mean, he was basically hired by the right-wing fruitcakes and had no, as far as I'm, I remember when he ran, he had no credentials at all.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be an attorney to run for that office, and he wasn't an attorney. He was strictly a politician.
Now, wait a minute. He's not he's over teaching... Well, I think he's lecturing on law in Liberty University.
Well, if you can get elected and pretend you're an attorney for the Attorney General of Kansas and you don't have credentials, why can't you go to university and teach? I mean,
for
really.
Gary Falwell's university.
We'll
have to check that out.
I
know he was a talk show host, but hell, maybe I should run for Attorney General.
Yeah, I thought about running for sheriff here, you know. My slogan was going to be, no, I have no credentials. And since people have guns so much, my other slogan was going to be, I'm going to let you carry your guns, and I don't care what you do with them. I just wanted to get elected. I figured I could go down to, you know, one of those little dime stores and buy a toy cowboy hat and a little plastic bag.
Sure.
I figure if Klein can do it, why can't I?
Well, why can't anybody? You're right. I think that democracy, I guess. Jesus Christ. Well, now let's shift a little bit to this issue. Now, folks, if you haven't checked out Otto's War Room, I don't know how to describe this. This is one of the strangest blogs in Kansas. There's a big brouhaha about Kansas Free Press. Now, that's a new website, which ran by Pam Poley, Kohly, nice woman, a very respectable blog. I mean, it's a website. It's got a lot of you Kansas listeners. If you got a hankering for writing, send it to the Kansas Free Press. Just Google, you know how to Google. Google Kansas Free Press and send it to Pam. Now, there's a good chance, there's a snowball's chance in hell that if you write anything like Steve Otto writes, it's not going to get in there. Because the word is respectable. okay? But this is one of the reasons I'm targeting poor Steve Otto, because he's a brother like me, okay? I would consider this guy a gonzo rider, and Steve, you've got my kudos for that. You've done it in spades, brother. Yes, we're competing for the Hunter S. Thompson Owl Creek Award here. But I want to tell you right now, your last two, I guess, were novels, and I haven't read them, and I'm going to advertise them and put them on the websites. But could you, Otto's War Room is a very bizarre. What was that? You have two blogs. There's Otto's War Room. Oh, and Todd. What's the name?
Oh, yeah. Todd Tiart's Follies. The Idiot Factor.
The Idiot Factor. Another wonderful. Well, the Idiot Factor, folks, is a great blog to go for dirt, real hardcore dirt on. I guess Todd Tiart's your representative there down there, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Besides, he didn't know how to spell his name.
He's trying to be the
king of the world.
We're really hoping we can kind of push him out of politics when he runs for that.
Well, he's leaving one office to go to another. They're doing.
He's trying to move up.
The reactionary Republicans.
Mm-hmm. He's your basic.
They're doing musical chairs. Sammy Brown back for governor and. Todd, could you just, help me out on that one? Musical chairs, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's see. I think Brownback is running for governor, and he may be unopposed, which is not good because he's terrible.
Right.
And then Moran, who isn't politically much different from T-Art, but he's just less corrupt, and he's running against T-Art and may actually beat him. I used to think of Tiart as a right-wing ideologue, and now I think he and a lot of the people he represent, like him, who are in Congress, I don't even really see them as political. They're just sort of like
what?
Kind of like Al Capone, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I take the money where I can get it, and the hell with everybody else.
Monster. They're not.
I mean, it's not politics. I mean, how would you put a political label on Al Capone, you know? That would be a liberal because he sold alcohol.
Well, they are. They do carry on.
Fascist because he killed people? I mean,
I think they're just so goddamn happy with all the Bible pounders and stuff. They just know that that Grandma and Grandpa Joseph and Josephine are going to vote for him no matter what, because they've got sort of a retarded nation of voters who are going to vote for him. No matter what, a retarded person would just keep voting for these pricks. Do you agree or not?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing
retarded
that
people.
A man like that could last this long. I mean, it's just, in a lot of ways, it's just plain embarrassing when you see the man in action and listen to him, and you think, nobody vote for this. And then people do. And
right.
He gets reelected and reelected.
Right. I can only describe it. Retarded is a word now that is no longer in fashion. I guess it's dysfunctional or verbally challenged. But I think I'm beginning to think that many old Kansas Republicans are retarded. And they're the ones that vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're retarded. Did you hear that, listeners? Old Grandma and Grandpa are retarded, and I'm saying that because I've got Steve Otto, one of the real hippie writers in Kansas that nobody knows about, and you're going to find out. You can get his books. I'm going to make sure they're up there at the on my blogs and on my emails. I'm going to make sure. Now let's really take it out to outer space. I am Paul Pot. I probably play some Twilight Zone music when I get this. Now, what is this? I am Paul Pot. Could you? That's your fourth. That and your nonfiction. That's a fictional novel, I hope.
Yeah.
What happened? You channeled yourself, or you went into a Kansas earthbound?
Yeah, a little
or something?
Bit like that.
Well, tell me about.
One thing I thought it's the time to kind of move towards something less about. Drugs, because I'd be kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of beat it to death with four books already, and well, three books.
Yeah. It is the 21st century. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Let's see. I've always found him an interesting person because as a leader, he was so bizarre and different from pretty much anybody anywhere who ever led anything. Yeah. I had a Pol Pot MySpace page, and at one point it got kicked off by somebody who complained. It was a white guy, an Anglo.
Yeah.
Who was complaining about how it was degrading to Cambodians. Now, I actually had Cambodians who had actually signed up as friends just to be able to read the stuff on it. So, I don't think they were pro Pol Pot at all. It's more like they just wanted to, interesting in my take on the history of it.
Right.
And, that was kind of the beginning of the idea. Well, why don't I just write a book on it if somebody can... with this America, for all of the declarations of free speech and all of the guarantees that we have, people here, there are a lot of people who just hate it, and they despise freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that guy had a lot of nerve to think he could speak for Cambodians, and he's probably went on like a 2-week tour of the country, so he's an expert. And I've been studying this for years. I never actually made it to the country, but I have read about Pol Pot, and I've read his organization's writings. I've read their documents and all of that, and I thought it would make an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it together. It's not really supposed to be pro Pol Pot. It just basically kind of shows what it was like to be on the inside looking out as opposed to the outside looking in, because almost every book I pick up is first of all, it's propagandized. And if a guy's this bad, which he kind of is, you don't need propaganda. You don't have to make things up or slant things or go, this evil, rotten, vicious dictator. I mean, all you can present the facts, and people can see for themselves what kind of a person he is. And I kind of took that approach to it. And I also thought it would be helpful to people, leftists such as myself, to kind of just see, okay, well, how did somebody make these kinds of mistakes that this guy made?
Mm-hmm.
How did he get in the position where he got?
How did the people let him do it?
Hmm?
How did the people let him do it?
Actually, it was really a divided country between a lot of peasants out in the country where he did his recruiting, and they were set against the people in the city.
Oh.
Who he had, by the time he took the city over, he had pretty much no contacts in the city at all. Nobody in the city knew what was coming.
Really?
And he brought peasants into the city who had never even seen a city at all. There's some people who had never seen bottles of soda or cans of food. there's stories like
now, did he create a mythos or a personification around him that he was one with the peasants? He was a peasant, or
well, that's one of the interesting things that he did for 2 years. The country was he created this organization which was basically the central committee of the party, and it was run as the ANCAR, which means organization. So basically, as he's running this country, there's no personal face. There's no personality. It's just this group, This group is be loyal to this group. And I think in philosophy terms, the idea was it was a party, but it was trying to eventually expand out, and the people are going to become one with this party. So it's like ANCAR is not just an organization, it's everybody. I think that's what he originally had in mind. And then, of course, things went really bad after 2 years, and probably his closest ally was Kim Il-sung. And Kim Il-sung,
that's the guy from North Korea, right?
Yeah, he really has a personality cult, and he convinced him that, well, you should put something together, because if you don't, he said the people need somebody they can rally around. Of course, by then, all he did was create a personality cult that most of the people hated, because if they didn't like the government, they weren't going to like the guy who was running it.
Right, and so, this is beyond the red flag of revolution here. We're talking about...
It was extremely muddled. It was,
This is not like the Cultural Revolution of China, right? Where you're criticizing the Communist Party. I'm trying to get into your head, right? But the great proletarian Cultural Revolution of China was Mao, okay, who may or may not have had a cult of personality around him, to take over another part of the Communist Party in China that he viewed as going capitalist rotors and becoming imperialists and making little plastic things and flooding the market in Walmart. But and I think he's sort of right about that. He's dead, and he died, and all of his followers died. But in this case, this was a Pol Pot cultivating a personality cult. And did it have anything to do with forestalling the growth of capitalism in a feudal state, or what's happened? What's happened?
Well, I think he had a distorted picture of Marxism. What he really did was he had there's a guy named Philip Short who wrote a very good biography, which I used some information from him and some other sources.
Mm-hmm.
And what he had actually done was the only real, unlike China, where they had like Taoism and Confucianism and various philosophers that left their mark even on the, you know, all, pretty much on all the communists at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike that, Pol Pot was based around this form of Buddhism. And if you look at the rules that he had for the people, like they weren't supposed to wear jewelry and they weren't supposed to get to material things. And it's all, you know, all this anti-materialism.
Mm.
And it really resembles Buddhism. It looks like he thought that Khmer communism was just a kind of enforced Buddhism.
Khmer communism, communism in Cambodia.
Yeah, Cambodian communism was basically, or at least, you know, whether you believe it or not, in practice, that's what it really amounted to.
It's sort of like the difference between the Amish and the Baptists.
And you can imagine this could have worked if he could have got a lot of people, he probably could have gotten a lot of people to do this voluntarily without forcing and terrorizing them.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, we got people standing over you with rifles and people being shot all the time.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
Obviously the people who didn't want to do this aren't going to say anything, and they're certainly not going to like him for forcing them to live that way.
Right, right.
And of course, China, he... In the Cultural Revolution, they would take people out and try to get them to bond with the peasants, and it wasn't all that successful, but at least, you know, he would only take them out there for months and bring them back, and the idea was they would learn from each other.
Well, you know, Steve, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know some people, some young women who immigrated to the United States, and they were barefoot doctors.
Yeah.
During the Cultural Revolution, they were... they moved themselves from the city, and they were very upfront about that. They actually voluntarily went to the countryside and became doctors. And they claim that the excesses, many of these, you hear Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, they talk about the millions of people who died during the Cultural Revolution. That's really a lot of these young women. These sisters, they said that was grossly exaggerated. It served the propaganda purposes of the Deng Xiaoping, of those people who were, seeking to put China on the road towards where it is today.
Yeah.
You know.
And one thing I
take or leave it. That's what they claim they were not coerced into doing that.
Yeah.
They were happy to do it. So.
Right. Yeah, and that's a big difference. I make a big point in this book of pointing out that, and then this is probably one of the biggest misconceptions that people have had about
uh-huh.
Pol Pot was that he was a Maoist, and he was not a Maoist. From what I've read, it doesn't come out and say it, but it looks like he and his party resented Mao, kind of like the older brother who
did good.
Made good, and you're kind of living in his shadow, and you want to do something to outpace him, outmove him, and make him look like he's not as you are.
Well, I wondered about that.
Yeah. In their documents, the only time Mao Zedong is ever mentioned is when he dies. And the rest of the time, he is not mentioned. They read mostly Stalin. They did read some Mao, but they were mostly seemed to be interested in Stalin. And Lenin
yeah.
and Marx. And then when they moved to Cambodia, they switched to trying to develop a form of communism that was strictly Cambodian, and they didn't even want their cadre to read, you know, all of this Lenin and Mao and all that stuff.
Well, now that contrasts sharply with the Vietnamese. Ho Chi Minh considered himself a Thomas Jefferson. I think they actually mimicked the the bourgeois feudal stage of revolution. They tried to make the revolution at the early stages under the French in Vietnam into a where they were looking for a revolution similar. They even copied literally word for word, I guess, the Declaration of Independence, and they used it against the French imperialists. Now in Cambodia or Kampuchea, I'm wondering, you know, it's sort of like a lot of the we're skipping around countries here, but there is this huge argument that rages about taking the people to what do we call that? Where they go through a bourgeois democratic or a democratic government like we have today, through towards a more communist utopia, which of course it hasn't happened. I mean, but I mean, you follow me on that? I mean, I think the people in Nepal are
they're definitely doing that in Nepal, today.
Well, I think they tried it in Iran. It didn't work, of course. It turned into an Islamic republic, and I think that you dig what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what do you think? I mean, what happened in Kampuchea? And
they tried to skip that altogether. They say in their notes there were several stages of communist development that they came out and said we don't have the time for that. We're going to skip over it. We're going to skip over the Democratic Revolution. We're going to go straight to the socialist revolution. And so they were basically looking for shortcuts.
Didn't work.
Yeah, they were looking at other countries. Okay, like you say, China went through this democratic revolutionary period. Then they went to socialists. We're going to skip that. We're not going to take the time to do that.
Mm.
And so they skipped a lot of important things and tried to jump way ahead of themselves. Yeah, like you say, it didn't work too well. I think another thing is when I wrote the other book, they both take place. When I wrote the memoirs book, they kind of take place in the same time period, and I think it is kind of interesting to contrast, a kind of decadent America where the government is starting to, or the culture is starting to lose its grip temporarily on people and not able to force its will on everybody, whereas in
do you think we're approaching that period now, or we're in it?
Not to the extent of the 70s at all. No. I think we're still. We may be coming out of the. I call it the age of fear and paranoia. which started with Reagan, and the point where everybody's telling you that if you think your neighbor is a drug dealer, turn him in, or turn him into the cops, or it makes you, like I say, it's not necessarily that you have to be a drug dealer to get paranoid from this. If you think that your neighbors are spying on you all the time, you don't want to be their friends, for one thing.
Right.
I don't want friends that are spying on me or checking out my house to see if there's something they can report to the cops, you know?
Right. I mean, but what I'm trying to figure out is, where do you think we're at now? You sound uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. That's a good question. I've been thinking a lot about that, especially since I finished the Pol Pot book.
Right. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. What I'm worried about some people doing is trying to think that I'm using Pol Pot.
No. I want to know what you think now. You've put yourself in this situation where you've channeled, you know, you've written this book, you put yourself into Pol Pot's character, and you thought, do you think, I mean, maybe we, I don't think President Obama is a personality cult, although.
No.
But I do think that we're coming out of a period with George Bush where I know people out here in Jefferson County, Kansas, who considered George Bush, that I've actually set coffee bars, and they said, God bless George Bush.
Yeah.
You know, these people worship this guy, and I'm trying to figure out the schizophrenic reaction. Maybe we're seeing some of that with the so-called town hall meetings. And not a lot of people, but, I mean, a bunch of pissed-off grannies and grandpas screaming at the top of their lungs is something
Yeah, my take on that is that these kinds of people are setting themselves up for probably the opposite of what they're hoping. I think they have the idea that liberals and they think that people like me are, in some ways I'm a liberal, but in a lot of ways I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote an article not too long ago in my blog about these people have pushed for guns. What makes them think that we can't buy guns and get permits to carry them?
Right.
You know, they got this idea that all the liberals hate guns, therefore they can go around and push us around and scare us by carrying guns. Well, I just wrote an article saying, you know, encouraging people who, I mean, if you're not deathly afraid of a gun, buy one. Please buy one.
Sure.
Buy as many as you can. Learn to use them. Figure out how to take somebody down. Because I think these people who are saying stuff like, well, I didn't bring my gun to this rally, but I might the next time, they're asking for it. Because some of us are going to take that serious. And if they can legally go to a rally with a gun, so can we. I mean, there's nothing illegal against me buying a gun, and I can get a permit to put it in my pocket and just walk around town. And if these people think that nobody on the left is going to run around with a gun and stand up to them, they better think twice, because we're going to have a civil war. I mean, I really think that we're going to start seeing scrimmages in this country between people.
All right.
I think it's the closest we've come to that kind of conflict in a long time. It's real polarization.
Well, it is. It's unusual. It is unusual that people with, or you know, they're screaming about the Second Amendment, and they don't think it goes both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there calling while they're busy calling Obama a communist and a socialist. I'm noticing a rise in the number of socialist and communist blogs by people like myself who are, you know, openly looking at Marxism and
well, sure, that's what's going on with the flyer, my fight and cock flyer. You can go to the flyer and scroll down, and you can see there's way down the bottom there's a traffic counter, and it will tell you people from New Zealand, all over the world are checking the flyer, and I'll throw links in there from your spot and other places, and people, I think, have a thirst for the very things that are that the right wing are preaching against.
It's yeah.
amazing. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then you've got things happening like you said, Nepal, and you've got India, which has had the government has come out and said the biggest threat they have now is a Maoist insurgency that
yeah.
controls a fourth to a third of the size of the country.
which is, you know, India is no small landmass, and
that's pretty big. That's pretty big news.
Yeah, big news. Not here in America, but it's big news worldwide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Steve, I want to continue. Would you consider coming back on again as we talk about things like this? Would you come back on Radio Free Kansas?
Sure, be glad to.
Well, we're going to hold you to that.
Okay.
And I'll put your books up. And
and
get them up there, and I think it's amazing that we have a writer in Kansas who is covering these very controversial subjects. And and thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Hold on.
I don't know if you've.
Oh, well, you want to? Hey, put up your. Could you tell us the immediate way to contact you if listeners and readers want to get a hold of you directly? How can we?
Well, you can put Otto's War. You can Google Otto's War Room, and it'll come right up. And
wow.
It has some Chinese lettering, which actually says Maoist in Chinese.
Oh, I wonder
in
what
parentheses.
That was. Yeah.
And I can give you. Otherwise,
Google.
It's Otto's War Room,
uh-huh.
all one word. .blogspot.com.
Okay, Otto's War Room.
.blogspot.com.
All right. And
the easiest way is just put Otto's War Room and then Google, and it should come up, and you'll, like I say, you'll see some Chinese signs. I was wondering, where did I get the term War Room?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've actually got a picture, a little bitty picture, you barely see it, but it's from Dr. Strangelove, where everything they discuss, they go into the war room.
Oh, that's
with the big American, you know, with the big American map behind them and stuff.
Right. Sterling Hayden and Peter Sellers standing there in the big war room.
Yeah.
Well, it is a war room for Kansas.
Yeah.
That's good, and I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to have you on Radio Free Kansas, And we'll get you back on again, and I'm going to put your books up on the blog so people can just click them and buy them from Amazon, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Hold on. Oh,
Down black shacks over the tracks, children so hungry they could cry. The chrome, the steel, the metal dream, leaving the TV to rot. The escapist young mind left behind, saving dimes for community pot. You better get straight. but it stays right there, collecting dust. No one understands what's being said. Lovers make love in concrete boxes. What will tomorrow bring? They've been told that it's wrong, but they don't give a damn. Soon another life it will bring. You better get straight, baby.
It's time to play Delusional, Deranged, or Just Plain Stupid with your host, Jack Rice.
Hey, thank you everybody for coming out today. I sure appreciate that. Obviously, we have a very, very busy show because a lot of people wanted to play. A lot of people wanted to be a part of the game, and we had to cull the flock a little bit. We had to grab just a few, so let's see if we can go straight at it. To give you the rules of the game, we have to decide whether or not our participants are delusional, whether or not they're deranged, or frankly, just plain stupid. Let's start with delusional. Let's put these in their proper spots just so we understand. If you're delusional, that means you're simply out of touch. You're confused. But if you're deranged, it's as if you're purposely delusional. You're purposely out of touch. The word that you might use is crazy, but I think we can go with purposely, specifically trying to be what you are. And then, of course, just plain stupid, I think that one goes for itself. Now, where do we start today? I think we'll start with one of my favorite players. She's always prepared to play. She always comes to play, and that is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. She was on Glenn Beck just last night, and boy, did she say something I enjoyed very much.
Have you ever thought to yourself when you go to bed and thought to yourself, maybe I'd be better off if I wasn't in Washington?
Well, sometimes you think that, but then I'd have to look at my five kids, our 23 foster kids that we raised, and realize I have to hand the baton of freedom off to them. I have to look at myself in the mirror and ask myself, did I do everything I could possibly do to make sure our country stays free under our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution?
Now, this is a tough one. Delusional, deranged, or just plain stupid. Now, I've interviewed Congresswoman Bachmann a couple of different times. I've had her in studio a couple of different times in other places around the country. And I'm torn here. I'm torn. You see, I would like to go straight to just plain stupid, but I don't think I can do that. You know what? I think I'm going with deranged. I think that she actually chooses to go down this path. I think she actually works hard to put herself on the crazy train. So I'm going with deranged. Let's keep going on Sean Hannity. Oh, he wanted to be a part of the program. Sean, thank you so much for that. I know you were talking about President Obama and the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's talk about what you think. How do you fit into this?
You know why I think he got it? I think for trashing America. I think for calling America arrogant. I think for apologizing for America.
Now, as I listen closely, and this was a tough one. I'm agonizing over this one. You see, Sean Hannity, is he delusional, is he deranged, or is he just plain stupid? Let's listen. He has a second piece of this, because I think it's only fair to give him both of these. That's why we can really work our way into this to understand where he fits, delusional, deranged, or just plain stupid. Let's go to this second drop. Give us a little more.
I define peace as the ability to defend yourself and blow your enemies into smithereens.
Okay, that's it. I got it. He's just plain stupid. You tell me I'm wrong. Seriously. I mean, some people, they're just confused, or maybe they're purposely out of their minds and they simply are trying to avoid facts. But then there are some people who just don't get it, and they've decided that whatever spouts, they don't even know how to stop. And I think that's Sean Hannity. Okay, let's move on. Oh, this one. This guy is one of my favorites. And I'm not really even sure where he goes. Pat Robertson. Pat was just talking about this one over the last couple of days. Now let's see if you can actually understand what the hell he's even talking about. Then we'll try to decide where he is, delusional, deranged, or just plain stupid.
Martha writes in and she says, I recently saw an article claiming that canola oil is a toxic substance that can cause everything from asthma to heart disease. Is that true?
Well, Martha, they make canola oil out of something called rapeseed, and it just sounds horrible to think you're getting raped when you're drinking some canola oil, so people stay away from it.
What? Wait. Come on. Chris, did you change that at all? He really didn't say that, right?
That was word for word what Pat Robertson said.
Okay. Let me hear it one more time. This is. I'm struggling here. Let me hear this one more time.
Well, Martha, they make canola oil out of something called rapeseed, and it just sounds horrible to think you're getting raped when you're drinking some canola oil, so people stay away from it.
Okay. I want to go with just plain stupid, but I don't think I can do that. I think it's got to be between delusional and deranged. Boy, you know what? I think I'm going with delusional. Because I don't think he actually purposely does this. I don't think anybody can take the leap from canola oil to drinking oil and getting raped. I don't think you can do that without simply being deluded. Why don't we turn to another of my particular favorites, and we'll be talking about this later on in the program, and that is Rush Limbaugh, simply because we now find that the NFL has decided that they don't want Rush Limbaugh at all to be an owner of anything. I'm loving that. But let's take a look at what it is that Rush Limbaugh said about sports.
I mean, there are rappers that own parts of NBA teams. Lyrics to their songs we couldn't play on this radio show. They're celebrated. Cool, Daddy, cool.
Boy, you know what? I'm trying to decide here, because how much OxyContin can somebody take and that would just make them just plain stupid?
Right on, Daddy-O.
Thank you very much, Rush. I mean, how much of that do you take before you start losing enough brain cells that I think we can put you in that range? You know, well, the one thing I can say without hesitation is that clearly it's purposeful. So if I know that it's purposeful, and I know that he has some sort of capability, I go beyond the just plain stupid. So then I have to decide between it's the delusional or the deranged. If I have to pick something for the old Rush bow as he sits there with bandoleros of OxyContin, I think I got to go with deranged. I think I have to go with deranged here, because this is purposeful, if for no other reason. I have to turn next to Representative John Shadegg, Republican from Arizona, as he talked about health reform, health insurance reform, and he decided that there was only one reasonable comparison of all comparisons. Let's listen in.
What we're really getting here is we're not just getting single-payer care. We're getting full-on Russian gulag, Soviet-style gulag health care.
Okay, that's a good start. Now, if I start with that, that's my basic working premise. For Shadegg, okay, he can either be delusional or he can be deranged or just plain stupid. You know, I don't think I'm going with deranged. No, you know. And I actually think he actually buys what it is that he's doing, but I also think that he thinks it's logical, and so he purposely goes down this path. Now, I'm going with deranged. Deranged is, yes, thank you, I'm feeling pretty good. Okay, let's keep going. This one I particularly like, and I'm feeling very good about this. Orly Tights. You may remember Orly Tights. Orly Tights is the leader of the birther movement. That's right. President Obama was born someplace in Mombasa, Kenya. A judge just fined her $20,000 for frivolous lawsuits. How's that for that tort reform? Okay, let's take a look at a listen of Orly Tights, and let's determine whether she's delusional, deranged, or just plain stupid.
I want to start with some news that broke this afternoon, and that is that you were fined $20,000 for misconduct by a judge in Georgia who called you delusional. Are you delusional?
Absolutely no. It's a delusional and corrupt judge.
But he was appointed by George Bush. Just
listen,
FYI.
People make mistakes. What can I say?
Ooh, okay. Well, let me see. Like, is he delusional? Well, wait a second. I don't think this judge was playing.
Okay, let's go. So we got the delusional. We got the delusional judge, according to Thais. It's my argument. I'm going with deranged. Boom, come on, guys. Without hesitation, deranged is the right answer. Okay, finally, and I think maybe most importantly, because this one shocks me the most, we have to turn to the head of the GOP, Michael Steele. And we have two different cuts. I want to play them both back to back. And you tell me, Michael Steele, head of the GOP, delusional, deranged, or just plain stupid?
I'm not trying to be an obstructionist here. To the contrary, I'm saying, can we all get in the room and have a Rodney King moment?
What?
And work towards something that it reflects the common sense, bottom-up approach that the voters and the, certainly the insureds of our country, you, me, and others, want to be done.
Wait a second. Let me get this right. We're talking about health insurance reform, and he wants a Rodney King moment where a guy on a motorcycle was abused and beaten by a bunch of cops. How does... Okay, let's listen to the second one. Maybe I can get an answer here.
The feeling in some circles is that this healthcare train has left the station with the president at the wheel, and that Republicans better jump on board.
Well, I'm the cow on the tracks, and you're going to have to stop that train to get this cow off the track to move forward.
Wait, okay, so first of all, we have the Rodney King moment, and now he's a cow on the tracks, and he's going to stop the train. By the way, do you know... The trains have those little pointy things on the front of those trains. You know what those are for? Those are actually things for killing and pushing cattle off the tracks. That's what they do. Let me get this right. So first of all, your cattle on the tracks that usually get killed when they're on the tracks because a train can't stop, so we've got that. Great analogy. You're doing a great job there for the GOP. Fantastic. They all must be thrilled. And then you're talking about health care, and you start talking about a Rodney King moment where a man who was defenseless was abused by a bunch of people who had all the power in the room, and you want that moment, do you? That's the moment that's going to highlight all this for you. Okay, this one's easy. Without hesitation, I have decided that Michael Steele, head of the GOP, is just plain stupid. Yes, 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 yeah. Come on, that was the easy one in the room. Easily, without hesitation, just plain stupid. And boy, how do you think the GOP feels right now? This is the future and the past and the present. Man.
Yes, that is, and that is the future. Well, that was Jack Rice with Air America. Just Google Air America and hunt him down. He does a regular program. That game show is definitely available. You can get it every week as a podcast. Check it out, Air America, Jack Rice. Oh, folks, what a wonderful show. The lines are open. If you want to call in tonight, it would be more than welcome. For the information, people wanting to know that great music, that would be the last one was Animals. Yes, you remember the band The Animals. White Houses. And then there was Echo and the Bunnymen. Never heard of that one. Echo and the Bunnymen, New Direction. And before that, The Immortal. Jefferson Airplane Volunteers. Also, a late-breaking story coming in now into the box at the Fight and Cockfire. By the way, you can send your hot links to bluebarnnewscentral@gmail.com, and I'll post them if they're hot. But finally, our brother, Steve Otto, has it right. It is the idiot factor. Todd T. Hart is now announced, according to the Washington Post, breaking loose. Today, yes, what is today? October 30th, the day before Halloween. Congressman Todd T. Hart, target of an investigation with PMA, one of the seven legislatures. Here's a quote from the today's Washington Post. Together, the seven legislatures, and Todd T. Hart's one of them, have personally steered more than $200 million in earmarks to clients of the PMA group in the past 2 years and received more than $6.2 million in campaign contributions from PMA and its clients in the past decade. That's according to an analysis by the Congressional Quarterly and Taxpayers for Common Sense. There's a lot more dirt there, folks. Todd T. Hart, watch out. Brothers and sisters, especially if you're a Republican. A dirty little man there, and I'll tell you what. And he is little, by the way. I didn't realize how short he was. Todd T. Hart. Just Google the idiot factor, Todd T. Hart. By the way, his name is spelled T-I-A-H-R-T. Evidently, they don't know how to spell in some of those smaller communities. Todd T. Hart, the idiot factor. A fantastic blog by Steve Otto. I'm sure he'll pick up on that story. Lots of graphs and crap in there. Now, if we could only come up with something on future Governor Sam Brownback, Sammy Brownback. I'm telling you, that guy, he's coming back from Washington, and he's going to be enthroned. Yeah, they're just going to coronate him like a king, put a crown on his head, and make him king of Kansas. King of Kansas, Sammy, Senator Sam Brownback. Well, I might as well play. Here's Fletcher Henderson. Let's play a little jazz. This is Fletcher Henderson, the Stampede. It's a little jazz for you to get you going. Thank you.
wrote a song for the free speech fight of 1910, and was introduced on the streets of Spokane by Haywire Mac McClintock. He was a branch secretary then. He wrote Big Rock Candy Mountain and Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. He got together a little band, T-Bone Slim, a tuba, a garbage can lid. They stood in a doorway, waiting to leap out at the unemployed throng and regale them with song. They used a shill to build the crowd. You know, a carny shill? Somebody uses tricks to build a crowd. I think his name was Tresca, but he wore a black suit, a black bowler hat, a string tie with an umbrella and a briefcase, looked like a banker. He'd walk down where they were hiding in the doorway, and suddenly he'd start to yell, "Help! Help! Help! I've been robbed! Help! I've been robbed!" Everybody'd run across the street. "What's the matter? What's the matter?" As soon as he got the crowd together, he'd yell, "I've been robbed by the capitalist system, fellow workers!" He'd talk to them for 10 minutes, and then the boys would leap out and start singing, and this is what they were singing. "The long-haired preachers come out every night. I try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky, way up high, work and pray, live on hay. You'll get by in the sky when you die. That's a lie." Oh, that's real nice. Let's take a minute and teach the folks that don't know this what this is. Now, this is done Baptist style. Are there any Baptists here? Oh, good. Answer back, you know, where I sing one thing and then you sing it back and then we sing a line together. And the way up highs are yours, not mine. They're the prettiest part of the whole song.
You will eat,
by
and by,
in that glorious land in the sky,
way up high,
work and pray, and
live on hay,
you'll get by in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
The long-haired preachers come out every night. I try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they'll answer in voices so sweet. And
you will eat
by and by, in that glorious land in the sky.
Yeah,
work and pray,
and
live on hay, you'll get by in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
The Starvation Army, they play, and they shout and they clap and they pray. When they've got all your coins on the drum, they will tell you when you're on the bum. And
you will eat by and by,
in that glorious land in the sky.
Work and pray,
and
live on hay,
you'll get by in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
Working folks of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom shall fight. When this world and this wealth we have gained, the grafters will sing this refrain.
You will eat by and by,
when you've learned how to cook and how to fry. Chop some wood, that do you good. And you'll eat in that sweet by and by.
That's no lie.
The bum on the rods is hunted down as an enemy of mankind. The other is driven around to his club, is feted, wined, and dined. And they who curse the bum on the rods as the essence of all that's bad will greet the other with a winning smile and extend the hand so glad. The bum on the rods is a social flea who gets an occasional bite. The bum on the plush is a social leech, blood-sucking day and night. The bum on the rods is a load so light that his weight we scarcely feel. But it takes the labor of dozens of folks to furnish the other a meal. As long as we sanction the bum on the plush, the other will always be there. But rid ourselves of the bum on the plush, and the other will disappear. Then make an intelligent, organized kick Get rid of the weights that crush. Don't worry about the bum on the rods. Get rid of the bum on the plush.
Utah Phillips, Bum on the Plush. And also his version of Joe Hill's Long-Haired Preachers, Utah Phillips. Yes, folks, it's been great. You know, it's a great little show, Radio Free Kansas. I'm going to take it to the daytime. We're going to come out. We have to watch our language and all that. I think we'll be going, as the campaign season heats up, we'll be doing an additional Saturday high noon live show, taking on, hopefully, the candidates here in Kansas, and wherever we can get them, we'll just pick them up, bring them on, let them talk about their positions. Radio Free Kansas is going to be your voice. Oh, wait, I got a caller. Let's see if I can get him online. I don't know, we're having technical problems. Hello, is line 1-785, or you're online. Are you there?
Well, how are you doing?
Well, you hear it. You know how I'm doing.
Why, yeah, that's some wonderful music. That's a good little show tonight. Well, out here in the little apple, it's sort of...
Yeah.
Well, it's gotten a little cooled off here this evening.
Yeah, it's getting cold here.
Is it cooling off there?
Rain. Well, that's what makes it cold. Rain makes it cold.
So who are you going to get on your show for when the next round of the worthless people get voted into offices?
Well, they're not all worthless, actually. Hopefully, the good ones will come on. Hopefully, only the good ones will come on. But in either event, people, you know, will recall the ideas that, well, they'll come on live and daytime. I mean, we're approaching Halloween. By the way, listeners, we're going to have a special. Let me interrupt you and make an announcement. We will have a special Halloween party tomorrow night at 10 o'clock to midnight. To the witching hour, there will be a special Halloween program. The first hour, as usual, will be pre-recorded, a special program I made myself. The second hour will be with an interview with a living witch from Lawrence, Kansas. I'm actually a living witch who lives in Lawrence, Kansas, explaining her religious beliefs. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to make that announcement. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. So.
Oh, you're going to be on air tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night will be Halloween special. It's mainly going to be a lot of great sound effects, and actually, it's going to be interesting. I made this hour-long program in 2007, and it's become a classic for many of the listeners who they like it because it's set back and party and listen, and of course it's political, but not really political. It's just scary stuff, you know.
mainly I called in to other than the compliments on the good music.
Oh, thank you.
It was a good little half hour. Let's go back to when it was nice and peaceful out.
Yeah. Well, I got
college kids running up and down the street. They're all converging across the street, getting ready to have their big Halloween party.
Yeah, well.
So I went out and lit all the pumpkins that the grandkids carved last weekend on the front porch. I put just lit the candles in them.
Well, yeah.
So the kids will be tempted to have something to come and smash later on.
They're a violent breed.
If I don't stay on the watch, they'll get about 2 o'clock in the morning, and they'll decide, well, those things are glimmering real bright. Let's go smash one of them.
They're
so anyway. Other than Now listen, we was talking about this upcoming on the railroad or the rails of steel with Hunter Fox coming up.
Sure.
Yeah, well, he's going to be taking off the 15th of this next upcoming month, and he's going to go from the flatlands up into the mountains for about 3 days, and he's going to send pictures to the I'll call in on the shows while we're out there on the rails.
Sure.
And and then we're going to go from there. We're going to shoot down to the Native American brothers down in New Mexico around White Sand.
Yeah.
And of course we got intercepted on Facebook from relatives out there in the Big Albuquerque land, wanting us to swing by when we're on our little mini wondrous tours of the Southwest on the Amtrak. So
good.
Well, we're going to call in though.
Yeah.
We'll catch a Monday night show, and we'll catch all three of them actually.
That'd be great.
And then the second half of it, we'll catch your Saturday night program on the following week would be the 21st. We'll be out in New Mexico then, and we'll call in.
Well, I don't know. As it runs right now, within a week or two, I don't know when it's coming. Saturday high noon Central Standard Time. That'll be just an additional show. So just count on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time, and you'll have to pay attention to your email because I always announce scheduling changes. And it's coming up. We'll be doing Saturday high noons. Primarily so that the old retarded old people can call and during the daytime and participate in the program if they want. And I shouldn't call them retarded, but I'm getting 55, and I feel like I'm sliding into being retarded myself. So I can't imagine the 60 and 70 and 80 year olds. They must be feeling retarded, you know. So.
Well, you know, they got a saying that when you start to retire, you start also beginning the early phases of retardation.
Yeah.
Once you retire.
Yeah.
But the trick of it is to make it a humorous transformation.
That's right. And I'm trying to convince all the politicians to come on and take on the caller. On Saturday at high noon, grandma's and grandpa's, and Central Standard Time. You can come in and call in 646-716-8652, and you can vent your grief to the politicians directly. If we do a Saturday high noon, it'll be with the politician. It could be anything from my God. It could be the county commissioners to here in Jefferson County to Bill Otto down in Leroy. I think he's agreed to.
Oh, Bill Otto. Well, he's really, you know what, that Bill Otto, since you mentioned him.
He was on my show. Did you hear it? Did you listen to him?
I know. But I
that's a yes?
I listened to him.
That was a great show. I thought that was a great conversation. You know,
it was a good show. But, you know, they had a thing last night that the night before, on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was a stream of a interview that he was being given.
Yeah.
They were talking.
I hate to, but I try to. Cite my sources. Where did you see him on TV? What channel?
It was on YouTube. It was
YouTube.
A clip on YouTube.
Mm.
And it was Wednesday night. and it was an interview where they was asking him about if he was going to retract all the lyrics. And that was in his last two videos. And it was basically his response was he was just probably going to make another one.
Well, you know, I haven't. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It was almost like he was telling them, well, as long as everything stays in financial chaos and greed,
right,
he's going to continue with these rather staunch lyrics that he's putting out of a little county down in the
well, sure.
The Neosho River Valley of Kansas.
That's right.
But I think it's real interesting, though.
I've told him, and I'm telling the audience, of course,
uh-huh,
my progressive friends who consider themselves hard Democrats. All right.
Right. Yeah.
I think he should run for governor. governor against Brownback.
They're not really ready
for that. God's sake, I mean, Brownback, what a lousy Republican.
Well,
I mean,
he's an opportunity.
He's a lousy. No, he's more than that. He's a lousy Republican. He's not even. He's a warfare state man.
He's a
religious nut.
Huh?
He's a religious nut.
Yeah, he's a party jumper. Religious. I sort of did that. You sort of took me by surprise with that one.
Oh, no, Brownback's a religious nut?
No, well, I mean, you know.
He's more of a religious...
Since you brought that aspect of our life up, what about just the eBay auction that they was trying to get pulled off for that scumbag Roeder?
Well, I'm surprised that Brownback didn't spend $1,000 and help him out.
Well, eBay shut it down. They said they wasn't going to let him do it on their site.
Are you sure about that? Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, YouTube
has little clips about all that stuff.
Well, I don't have, you know, email me the links, because I don't have really time to hunt them down myself. I'll tell you straight up, you know, these crazy Christians, the Christian Taliban, you know, Sam Brownback's a highly, check out Jeff Charlotte's book. Jeff Charlotte said he's going to come on. By the way, listeners, Jeff Charlotte he's the author of the book, The Family, about this secret, ultra elite, rich group of Christians in Washington, D.C., and Sam Brownback's a straight-up official member of that, as well as many of our representatives from Kansas and Missouri, John Ashcroft. They're secret members of a very hardcore group. And Jeff Charlotte, that's Jeff, J-E-F-F, Charlotte, S-H-A-R-L-E-T, just Google his name, and you will find a book he wrote called The Family, and I've been going through it for the second time. And Jeff Charlotte will be appearing November 3rd in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out the flyer you only got about 48 hours to get your reservation in. Jeff Charlotte, author of The Family, will be in Kansas City very quickly. And I want to make sure listeners know he's coming. They can come and watch him and listen to him. He may or may not. I don't know. He's a contributing editor to the Rolling Stone magazine. And he has volunteered to come on my show. So he's been on my show before, by the way. If you go through Radio Free Kansas archives, and you'll find Jeff Charlotte on the thing. We actually did a show a long time ago, but we need to update him. But Sam Brownback's part of that. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous
how they make all these secret alliances. And I'm not being facetious. Well, I am a little bit. I think he probably gave money to Scott Roeder's defense fund.
Well, he probably did in a roundabout way, and we just don't know about it.
It'll be hard to track.
Seriously.
So, I mean, that's how sick these people are about their religion. They're very sick about their religion. But
they're quite adamant about their religion. And,
well, they want to ram it down your throat. They want to push
they do it very. They do it very good running up and down their interstate. From
Capitol. Huh?
I said they do it real well running up and down their interstate from Wichita up to the state capitol.
Oh yeah, that's I could just like, you know. Crazy.
I've waved at a few at them over the years while I was making that tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just some, you know, spooky Halloween, you know,
right,
interjection there.
Sure. That,
but,
that
go ahead. So, they make those nice little late evening trips up from Wichita up to the people on their little, hey, I'd probably stop out there at Tawanda at the break at rest stop and do the shakes, the handshakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, deal's made. Okay, now we got this deal made. Now you're in for it. Yeah, I'm in. All right, let's shake on it. I'll see you.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I encourage people to check out The Family. Google The Family by Jeff Charlotte, and you'll get the lowdown on Sam Brownback. And he's going to be your future governor unless you get out there and start talking shit on him, you know? Because I'll be honest with you, the guy is crazy. He's welcome to come on radio. Let's get this straight. He's welcome to come on Radio Free Kansas.
I
want him on. Email Sam Brownback and tell him, come on Radio Free Kansas. I dare you, listeners. Let him know he's welcome. I will be polite and professional when I talk to him.
You'll be polite and professional.
When he comes on. That's right.
He should. I think, you know what I think they should do? Every one of them running, I think, should come on the free Kansas Free Radio on on the big Blue Barn special. And,
sure.
We should have as like a two-series panel of them. You know, have like three of them on one segment and three on the other one. And that could be a good challenge. If any of their pages just may be listening,
right,
or any of these upcoming candidates, any of you pages are listening to the show, you ought to take that to your boss and, you know, what better is it? It's free advertisement. It's free airtime for you.
That's right.
And get your voice out there to your people, to your community.
And it's unedited, and we don't have any commercials. And I'll let them talk as long as they want. It's not like TV with 5-second sound bites or you have to buy a commercial or something.
Right.
This is all real stuff, and you're talking to real people. Saturday at high noon, folks. Now, all you listeners, we've got to go. It'll be probably in two Saturdays, maybe next Saturday. But you'll have to get on the email list, bluebarnnewscentral@gmail.com. And we're going to go right into it. We got 4 minutes, and I'm going to finish out the show. Thank you for calling in. Check it out, Saturday high noon. Watch carefully. And don't forget, a Halloween party tomorrow night beginning at 10 p.m. Thank you for calling.
Morning and at midnight, needs a starry sky. Night work, if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one boy, sighing sigh after sigh. Night work, if you can get it, and you can get it. If you try, just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door. Where tomorrow's to come on, who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and
and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it home, won't tell me how I'm holding hands at midnight neath a starry sky. Oh my, oh my, oh my, I feel like a perfect dove. Cold ground thinking of the one I love. I don't know and I don't care, I feel as though floating on air. Go through the tide of our thoughts, thinking of the one that I love. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door. Dee 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 dee.
My name's Mike Cadell. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your calls. And listen in tomorrow night, Halloween. We'll have a special show for you. Thank you and good night. Radio Free Kansas signing off. Have a good evening.